So moving into the undisputed game of the week. Now, had Florida not got spanked so darn bad by Alabama and lost John Brantley in the same game, maybe we could say Florida LSU could have a conversation that they belong in the biggest game of the week category. But undisputed biggest game of the week, the Red River rivalry. Say that five times fast.
Yeah.
Texas-Oklahoma. We have to talk about this game because it's yet another game that Oklahoma has to deal with.
Well, it wasn't long ago that you and I admittedly were joking around about this Texas team as they got ready for UCLA.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe it's time to admit that Texas is much better than we thought they were coming into that game. In fact, good enough that if they got a win this week, they would probably be pushing a top five national ranking, and you could even argue that Texas would be back to being Texas again if they won this game this week. That's a long ways away from where we thought they were a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think one of the issues for me with Texas was we get back to defense again. I forgot how good this defense is talent-wise, because last year it was just such a bizarre year on both sides of the ball for them that it was easy to just kind of write them off. But this is the same Texas team, essentially, that has been a dominant force in college football for the last decade. So you had to kind of assume there'd be a bounce-back year. Through the first two games, it looked really bad, but now it almost all seems to be Gilbert's fault.
Yeah, I mean, the post-Garrett Gilbert era seems to be off to a great start. The fans certainly love it, and as we learned today, he's now transferring, so that era couldn't be more over, and an official end to it coming today. As I look at this game, and the thing about Texas that interests me, they were bad last year. They were a bad football
team. Very bad.
And yet, they lost this game 28-20 and had chances to win. So the interesting thing is, in a bad, bad year for Texas, if they can put up that kind of a fight, you hear it all the time with rivalry games that you throw the records out the window, and this one really is no different. But Texas is much improved, and so for people looking for the silver lining on what they could do this week, look at last year.
And look back to 2008, Oklahoma, a 7-point favorite, number one in the nation. They've got Sam Bradford. They're supposed to win this game big, and Texas wins it. Now, granted, they had Colt McCoy at the time, but like you said, in these rivalry type of games, we can sit here and talk the numbers, and we're going to, and we're both going to end up on Oklahoma when it's all said and done, I'm sure. But you can't sleep on teams like Texas in these big rivalry games, especially in college football, where things are just so amplified.
Yeah, well, let's start with the positives for Texas, because I think both of us really are in Oklahoma, but let's get some of the things about Texas out of the way that are really good these days. I think Case McCoy is going to be the long-term answer for Texas at quarterback, but you know what? They have put together a two-quarterback system that works, and you don't see it very often. I was trying to think about which two-quarterback systems in the last 10 years or so have worked. And of course, people are going to think about Chris Leak and Tim Tebow, which counts, but it wasn't as true of a two-quarterback system because Tebow's plays were so customized to his ability at that point.
It's different to bring a quarterback in just as a certain package type of guy, as opposed to having a true two-quarterback system.
Right. I mean, Matt Flynn and Ryan Perilloux for LSU, that was due to injuries at some point, but they used that two-quarterback system at other points, and it worked really well. Brock Berlin and Rex Grossman going all the way back to 2001 when Steve Spurrier was there. But this, I mean, that illustrates that you don't see it that often, and to Texas's credit, they have made it work with two guys that, to me, are pretty similar. David Ash is a bigger guy, but they're both very accurate, very smart guys, and so far they've been brilliant.
They both went 7-for-12 last week against Iowa State, so they have the exact same amount of attempts and completions, and they're not rotating, like you said, based on injury or certain play designs. They're rotating almost flawlessly from second to third down. It's a very tricky thing to prepare for.
Yeah, and like you said, the Texas defense is so much better this year that what was killing Texas is Garrett Gilbert turning the ball over. These guys are not turning the ball over, and that's the reason that they started winning again.
And what I really like about what Mack Brown has set up here, now granted, it's a small sample size. We only have two games, and UCLA and Iowa State are certainly no Oklahoma.
Right.
But what I like now is that you have two quarterbacks that are game ready.
Yep.
And if one of them falters early and just doesn't look comfortable out there under this pressure, the other one's ready to go. It's not going to be just throwing a guy into the fire that doesn't have any game experience recently, Both of these guys are in form. Both of these guys are confident. The offense around them is confident no matter who's under center. It's a pretty cool thing to have if one of these guys falters, and if neither falters, even better.
Yeah, and you know, they're surrounded right now by some playmakers that are emerging. I mean, you can't help but love what you've seen out of Jackson Shipley so far, who looks like a carbon copy of his brother. This kid's a true freshman, and he's been nothing short of spectacular so far, and if they continue to get him comfortable playing week in and week out, he's going to command a lot of respect from defenses, including this week. The other guy that I love is Malcolm Brown, who's brought back the power run game to Texas. If you talk to Matt Brown, that's really what his philosophy is. This harkens back to the Cedric Benson days of Texas, where they are pounding the line of scrimmage and starting to get back to their bread and butter of throwing off of the run instead of vice versa. And so, you know, you really do have to look and be impressed by the improvement in a short period of time that they've made. But like you said, UCLA, Iowa State, BYU, Rice, we'll see this week.
These are both top 15 defenses, statistically. But what is a top 15 defense against these teams? And if Texas is going to have any shot of winning this game, in my opinion, it has to be because their defense steps up huge and makes Oklahoma's life difficult the entire game. Similar to what Florida State did. Florida State did give Oklahoma's offense some trouble. And you've got this thing, if you're Texas, that you can fall back on, that Landry Jones isn't as good away from home as he is at home. Last year in this game, he threw two touchdowns with no interceptions. It wasn't a big deal. But 2 years ago, he did have two interceptions. We're talking about totally different teams and defenses, of course. But if you're Texas, you have to, I don't want to say disrespect Landry Jones, but if Texas at any point in this game gets caught in awe of how good Landry Jones is, they're screwed. They have to come into this game attacking him, showing him no respect at all, showing this Oklahoma offense no respect at all, and keeping this game close to give this offense a chance to steal it. Because if this turns into a shootout, I love what Ash and McCoy have done through two games. I don't think they stand a chance.
Yeah, and unfortunately, your reasoning is why I can't pick Texas in good conscience, because Landry Jones, when he has time, will destroy you. He would destroy an SEC defense if he had time.
Right.
The point is they're not going to give him time.
Nope.
Texas only has 6 sacks this season, and to me they're missing a true pass-rushing threat. There is no Brian Arakpo out there. I don't see the guy that's going to consistently command the attention of Oklahoma's very solid offensive line. So how can I pick Texas to win if I don't see any way that they're going to be able to consistently pressure one of the best quarterbacks in the country if he has time?
Right. Texas has a decent secondary, but this is one of the best wide receiving cores in the nation. Right. So if you're giving one of the best quarterbacks in the nation time against, or with one of the best wide receiving cores in the nation, there's not really anything there. And perhaps less talked about is just how good this Oklahoma defense is. You were talking very highly about them after that Florida State game because they really showed us a lot in that one. And that's where I think this game is won for Oklahoma. Even if Ash and McCoy had more games under their belt, and even if they play a mistake-free game, which I think they're capable of doing, I just don't see them putting up a lot of points on this super strong Oklahoma defense.
Yeah, I mean, you put it this way, you can bet Brent Venables is going to dial up a lot of pressure on these two quarterbacks, because I think it believes what we believe, which is they really haven't been tested yet. They've looked good, but they haven't been tested. Let's see what happens when that Oklahoma defense dials up a lot of pressure.
So do you have a final score prediction for this one?
I mean, if I had to say, and I, you know, I respect the 28-20 performance last year from Texas, if I had to say, I'm going to go with 31-17. It might sound a little disrespectful to Texas. I actually think that the score will be maybe deceptive. I think the first half will be pretty competitive. But I think Oklahoma pulls away late because they do have a quarterback that, with time, has deadly playmakers. I don't think Texas will allow Oklahoma to run the ball very well. But I think that Landry Jones will find enough plays to win the game.
Yeah, I hate to disrespect Texas too, but I'm looking at similar. I think it's going to be a 28-10 Oklahoma victory that maybe in the first half is a bit close. But I think as the game wears on, Oklahoma is just the better team. They're more physical on both sides of the ball, and I think they're going to wear Texas down, and these young quarterbacks are going to make a mistake or two. It's going to be virtually impossible not to against a defense this good, and Oklahoma will make them pay for that. So if Texas has any chance, like I said, it's going to have to be with the defense. They're going to have to force Oklahoma to take field goals and keep this game within reach, but I just don't see it happening.